You know, we all remember that little playground song that we used to sing on the playground. It was that song that had the ability to make us smile and giggle and blush with embarrassment all at the same time. Ben and Christy sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Even right now she's blushing. First comes love, second comes marriage, and then what? Here comes Christy with a baby carriage. Yeah, like a five-person. You know, that's a silly old rhyme, but think about it for just a moment. There is so much truth, so much common sense, so much godliness demonstrated in that. First, I mean, just think about what it said there. Marriage and babies go together, right? Sitting in a tree, K-S-S-I-N-G, first comes love, second comes marriage, then comes, right? It's just the natural sequence. Love, marriage, babies. But also notice the order of events. That's important, right? Dating, or what we might better call courting. I know that sounds old-fashioned. I'm going out courting tonight, right? But that idea there is dating sometimes is just sort of, you know, off the cuff, right? You're just going out to have fun, and you might date different folks, right? But courting is serious, right? So maybe courting, then love, then marriage, then a baby carriage, right? That order is very important, and we see it, I believe, spelled out in the Word of God. You know, we live in a day and age that is incredibly culturally confused when it comes to marriage and children. Now think about this for just a moment. Marriage by so many today is simply seen as an option when it comes to children. In fact, here in America, just 2 years ago, the last statistics that I was able to find in 2012, 40% of every baby born was born to a mom and dad who were not married. So 40% of all children in America basically are born to parents out of wedlock. And that number rises and falls depending on the ethnicity of the group, right? They broke it down by ethnicity. The lowest was Asians, who had like a 12%, you know, of babies born out of wedlock. And then there's the African American community that has over 70% of their babies born to unwed mothers and fathers. But across the board, 40%, that means basically that nearly every other child, one out of every two children, do not have a mommy and a daddy who are committed to each other and committed to raising that child together. In fact, a study just from last year, it found and is reported that the average age for childbearing is now younger than the average age of marriage. Now, the average age for childbearing is lower than the average age a person is when they get married. So what does that mean? That means by age 25, nearly half of the women in America have had a baby, but a lot less than that have actually married. Now these are devastating statistics, and I know statistics aren't the only thing. They just tell part of the story, and I know it's complex and all that, but guys, listen to me. The problems in America are complex, but if we would fix just this one thing, I think so many other things would fall into place. Amen? I mean, in so many ways, think about this for just a moment. I'm not going to chase this rabbit trail because I could, but I came to preach the Bible, and not the government in so many ways has replaced fathers. In so many ways. The government in so many ways has replaced father. Who really needs daddy around when Uncle Sam's going to foot the bill? But again, I'm not going to chase that rabbit, right? Just suffice it to say, we live in a confused day. In a confused day. Children today, again, in so many ways, not only is there not the stability that's surrounding a child in marriage, mom and dad committed to one another and committed to raising that child. Again, so many children today in so many ways are seen as a hindrance to our personal growth, our self-actualization, right? Our becoming all that we can be in life. Now, I know we wouldn't say that, but really, we're saying that. Actions speak louder than words. We live in a day and age where most folks, they do eventually have children, but they want to have as few as possible. Think about this again. I'm going to throw some statistics at you because I think it helps give us the picture where Ben's not just on a hobby horse here. He's speaking reality here. Think about this. The fertility rate in America, what is the fertility rate? That is the average number of children a woman will have in her lifetime. That's what the fertility rate is. The average number of women or children that a woman will have in her lifetime here in America right now is 1.88. That's less than 2. What does that mean? How many people does it take to have a baby? It takes 2. That means that in America right now, we're having less children than is possible to replace this generation. You see what I'm saying? Our population is below replacement level. It takes 2.1 children per mama, statistically speaking, to keep the population the same. Otherwise, we're going to shrink. And again, economically, that has enormous impact, tremendous impact. Again, look at other industrialized nations. Look at China. They've got a tremendous problem socially because they're not having babies anymore. They're having one and less in China and other places. The only way we in America, I mean, how is it that we've maintained? How is it that we've grown? The only way that's happened is through immigration. And again, I'm not going to chase a rabbit trail. But let me say this, until we as Americans begin to produce children, begin to have children, then we're going to keep inviting, our government's going to keep inviting people across our borders legally or illegally. How are they going to get them here? So again, you want to fix some problems. We're on something that's going to fix some problems that a lot of you want to write about on Facebook. Let me just put it that way. All right? Americans are having less than 2 children. Now, why is that? Why is that? Again, I'm not here to step on toes, but as I think about that and I look at my own heart, I see no other reason. Again, if this is just a choice, I understand there's providential things that go on and all that, but if a person just simply chooses to have less than 2, why is that? Why is America in general going down that route? It very well could be that we as Americans simply see children as a hindrance to our happiness. To our happiness. Because we're born self-centered and we have to fight that self-centeredness our entire life. Our entire life. We make up excuses like this. Oh, I just can't afford anymore. I just can't afford anymore. I mean, I hope I never forget the conversation that Christy and I had with our anesthesiologist in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, just before we gave birth to Elijah. We were there, and the anesthesiologist, we were in the delivery room getting prepped and all that stuff. And the anesthesiologist, she began to talk and ask Christy and me questions. She said, oh, is this your first child? Oh, no, we have another one at home. He's 2 years old, Christy said. And the anesthesiologist said, oh, well, then I guess this is going to be it for y'all then, right? And Christy said, well, no, I mean, we might have a few more. We're not sure, but we think so. We've talked about maybe having, you know, 4 or 6 kids. And I wish I had a picture of that anesthesiologist's eyes, her face, because it's like, wah, wah. You know, you're just like, you know, it's like that face you make when you got a hold of something nasty, you know? You just bit into something nasty. I mean, her face was just, she couldn't believe it. It contorted and all these things. And she turned around to us and sharply began to question us. She said, do you know how much it costs to raise kids these days? No, I don't know how, you know. Are you, come on! And she went on to discuss how she, even on her anesthesiologist salary, couldn't afford more than 1 child. And she said, I want to give my child every opportunity that she can have. And then went on to get on to us, a little chastise us a little bit, and there in the delivery room for even thinking about having more than 2 children. But I got to thinking, you know what the average salary for an anesthesiologist in America is? I mean, my goodness, it's over $300,000. And she can't afford more than 1? In other words, my baloney meter started to go through the roof, right? There was another thing, right? She was saying, I can't afford 1. I can't afford anymore. But really, there was a heart issue going on underneath that, I believe. And that's the way we are as America. You know, in a lot of ways, that whole experience led me to put together a little chart. Here it is right here. I've shown this to you all before a few years back. And this is one of the things that just for me, and I've shared with you all my journey before, you know, and I'll share with you here in a little bit more probably, about how God has just begun to deal with me and to shape me and mold me and make me. But what that says there is that babies are greater than dollars. Amen? Yeah, absolutely. They add value. I mean, one of the things the anesthesiologist was missing is the fact that children are not just takers. Man, they're givers. Think of how they add to your life and they add wealth and they add all these things. Security and happiness. Yeah, it might not always be dollar amounts. Yes, children can be expensive. But you also don't have to give them everything in the world. And when you do, they actually usually end up turning out worse than if you had not given them everything in the world. And that second one says children are greater than convenience or comfort. They are. Let's be honest. Children are sometimes inconvenient. My goodness. I mean, you know, you don't even get a full night's sleep. Chris and I were laughing last night. We were looking on Facebook and somebody had posted a mom and dad's bed with a toddler. And the bed had mapped out how much room the toddler gets and how much room mom and dad gets. And like the toddler had like 3/4 of the bed in the middle and mom and dad were barely hanging over. The other night we stayed at my mom and dad's and the kids, three of them decided that they wanted to sleep with Christy. And I was in the other room. I was supposed to have two, and she's supposed to have two. But the three younger ones ended up with her. And when I got up the next morning, I went in there and looked. And Christy was literally, she was laying on the edge, and her belly was hanging off the bed. You know, see, here she is pregnant, and poor little Samuel, or whatever it is we're going to name him. They kicked Samuel out of the bed. But that's so inconvenient, but that's life with kids. And let me tell you, unless you have a greater purpose, unless you grab a hold of a greater vision, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it, all right? Money's better, and convenience is better, and my happiness and my self-actualization and all those things are better unless we get a greater calling, a greater vision from God. And I believe God's Word has that, and I want to share it with you all today. When we turn to Scripture, y'all, we see an entirely different picture, an entirely different mentality than we see in 2014 America. And some of you might say, oh, preacher, things have changed. I mean, come on, we don't live on farms anymore. We're all educated now. We got lots of access to birth control and options and all this stuff. Really? Have things actually changed? Has the Word of God changed? Or have our hearts changed? I'll let you be the judge of that. Let's look here at Genesis 1:28. Brother Tony read this just a moment ago, but we want to start here. We'll look at some other passages of Scripture this morning. But we want to start here. You see, from the very beginning, we see God give us a very simple but profound commandment there in Genesis 1:28. Speaking about Adam and Eve, look at what it says. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." We're going to talk this morning about the third purpose for marriage. We've already looked at the first two. One being companionship, that God has given us marriage for the purpose of companionship. Number two, we saw last week that God has given us marriage for the purpose of godliness, to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. And then this morning, we're going to look for just a little while about that third purpose. God has given us marriage to bear children, to bear godly children, to be fruitful and multiply. And so here's my prayer for you and me this morning. The big point that I want to get across to you is simply this: be conformed to God's view of marriage and children. That's the key here, right? I don't want you to be conformed to Ben. I don't want you to be just whatever Ben says. I want to be, no. That's going to get you in a lot of trouble, okay? I want you to be conformed to God's view. In other words, I want you to bring your childbearing, your fertility, all those things under the lordship of Christ. That's what I'm saying. It's not like I can do whatever I want over here. I mean, as long as I follow Jesus, I can do whatever I want. No. We want our entire being, our entire bodies, every aspect of our life under the lordship of Christ. So, that's what we want to look at this morning here. Be conformed to God's view of marriage and children, which includes the truths that children are, first, children are the natural expectation of every marriage. They're the natural expectation of every marriage. I know that we sort of get the wedding ceremony in Genesis chapter 2 when God brought Eve to Adam and he said, oh, flesh of my bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh and all those things. We get the wedding in chapter 2, but we get the summary in chapter 1. And so we can assume that after God gave Eve to Adam in marriage, he turned to them and said, bless you, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that's one of the purposes that he gave for marriage, right? That we would have offspring and we would raise godly children. Godly children. You and I here in Genesis chapter 1:28, we have to take this mandate seriously. We have to. We have to take it seriously. Now, again, I know that there are just things providentially that are out of your control that hinder these things. I understand that. There are those of you who have struggled to get pregnant. I understand that. That's out of your hands. God's not looking really at the outcome as much as your heart. Let me say that. Are you willing? Are you open? Are you looking for? Right? And sometimes with a marriage, it's all about age, right? I mean, women can only bear children up to a certain age. I mean, God just set that biological clock, as ladies call it, right? And at one point, it stops ticking as far as your ability to have children. And there are those who get married later in life that there's no way they can have children. It's impossible biologically, physically to have children. That happens. It could be because of a disease. You have a disease, and if you were to have a baby, you would pass that disease on. Or maybe it just you have dangerous work. I mean, there are missionaries, right, that should not have children because they're out. They're in the front lines of pioneer missions. I mean, they're with the cannibals, and they're with the Muslims out in the mountains. You know what I'm saying? And they don't need to have children with them. You see, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, the natural expectation of every marriage is children. And we should take this mandate seriously. Even if you say, well, we couldn't have children, or we shouldn't have had children because of this disease or whatever, well, can you adopt and raise godly children? Amen. I'm so thankful for the families in our church who have adopted children and raised them. And we have several families in our church who have done that. And we praise God for them because they recognize that marriage includes children. It's part of it. It's part of it. And so we should expect husband and wife to raise babies in normal circumstances. I know there are those out there who say, I just don't want children. And I say to them, those who are married, why? What's going on? What's the reason? And the reason usually is, I just don't want them. We want to bring our bodies even under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we think about children, marriage and children, we see this, children are a gift from God for our joy and our sanctification. Now here we go with that sanctification stuff from last week, you know. Christy and I were laughing about this the other night. You know, children are there. As we think about our sanctification, children are a constant reminder of how sinful we are, okay? Because we look at them and we get so doggone mad and we get so frustrated and want to just kick in walls and whatever else, you know? Send them to the grandparents for a month? Whatever. But every time God uses that to say, listen here, Hoss, that's how you treat me. Your kid's throwing a fit because they didn't get to sit in the high chair that they wanted to sit in. They had to sit in the booster seat, the plastic seat, not the wooden seat. And they're throwing a 5-alarm fit. Oh, God. Yeah, Ben, that's how you act toward God sometimes. They're a constant reminder of our need for Jesus Christ, our need to grow in Christ. But let's go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127 is a beautiful passage that expresses the blessing, the giftedness of children. Psalm 127, again, and this passage is so different from the world's mentality. I said to you last week, are we going to be people of our culture, or are we going to be people of the Word? And this here is just dramatically opposed to the typical worldview, especially here in America. Look at verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They'll not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Did you catch the blessing? Children are a reward. They're a blessing from God. We need to see them as that, not as a hindrance. And again, I know we wouldn't say that, but our attitudes betray us. Our actions betray us. Children are a gift. I'll never forget, I told Zachariah I was going to share this. He said, oh, Dad, please don't. But I still remember there in the delivery room when Zachariah was born. I was so green around the ears. I had no clue, man. No clue at all. And just being in that experience, as I was seeing him be born and all those things, I'm like, what is going on here, okay? But when he came out, I just can't explain to you the joy that he's brought into my life. And then God has blessed us with Elijah, and then Elizabeth, and then Nathaniel, and maybe baby Samuel. That might be what we name him on the way. And so just all of that, and God just, and so you think about every, you know, there was a woman back in Crofton, the last church I was at, and she told me, she said, every age of my child was my favorite age. In other words, when he was in diapers, that was my favorite age. But then he started toddling around, and that became my favorite age. And then he got into school, and she said, with each one, and isn't that true, y'all? With each section, it's a joy. Even the teenage years, man, are a joy. I was talking with a pastor just Friday, and we were talking about children, and he said, man, I tell you, there's nothing like, he's older than I am, he's got grown children, and he said, there's nothing like being able to fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ with your children. And some of you guys get to experience that here. You get to worship the Lord with your children. You've raised them up, and they've kept the faith, and they love God, and you get to worship with them. What a blessing. God gives blessings at every stage of life. Graduation, marriage, grandkids, all that is a blessing to God. Taking care of you in your old age, that is a blessing and a reward from God. Guys, we'll talk more about this tonight, but think about this for a moment. If you look at a land that is under the judgment of God in the Bible, it's a land that is barren of children. That's the curse of God. But we are getting closer to getting that, to wanting that, to childlessness, than we are the quiver full, aren't we? Children are a blessing, but also for our sanctification. As I mentioned a moment ago, children are a constant reminder of how I often am to God. But also think about this. Boy, they are constant accountability, aren't they? Oh, be careful what you say around your kids, because they're going to tell somebody, right? I don't know if I should share this or not. This isn't about me. I won't share it, but anyway, since it's not about any of y'all either, but they will tell on you. They will tell mama what you watch, daddy, in the car, or whatever. We have a few words around our house that aren't, they're not cuss words. But they're just words that we say. You know, our family's not going to say those words. And every now and then I'll slip and say one. And Elijah's real quick, uh-oh, daddy. Mama, daddy said, you know, whatever. They're good accountability partners. They really are. They bless you. They watch out for you. And think about this for just a moment. Part of God's plan for our life is to grow up, isn't it? Right? It's to grow up. And what more just like cold water in the face act in life does a person need than to have a baby, to have someone who you're responsible for who is helpless? And you all of a sudden see, I cannot live for myself anymore. I got to live for them. I can't just do what I want to do. I got to think about them. They're dependent on me, and a wife is dependent on me, and all those things. God gives us those things so that we would grow up, and preferably and hopefully grow up in godliness. That's what He wants in our life. Third, children are to be raised by both a mom and a dad. As you think about children from the Scripture, I mean, there is, again, this is going to be like an argument from silence, because the Bible just expects this. At what, I can't give you a chapter and verse that says, husbands, children need a mom and a dad. I mean, that's not in the Scripture. But it's in the warping wolf. It's just there. It's the expected thing. And we know just from experience that children thrive best when mom and dad are right there. That's why God has put divorce, you know, laws and things like that in, to keep us married. Because again, that's for the benefit of, we talk about stay together for the kids. That's a really good reason. Okay, while you work things out, that's a really good reason. Mom and dad were there in creation, right? Adam and Eve, and then children were brought in. And you know well society is trying to experiment with this in so many ways. So many ways. So homosexual parents. Even just the rise of single parent households. And again, some of that is not their fault. They were abandoned. But you know what also? Some of them are by choice. Children need mom and children need dad. Amen? They need them there. They need them in their life. Because they both bring something to the table that the other one doesn't. Like we talked about last week, mom and dad, husband and wife are complementary to each other. They come together for the fullness of what it takes to raise that baby. Dads play differently, right, than moms do. Moms are like, let's go, you know, hop, skip, and all this stuff. And dad's like, come here, boy. They just play different. And children need that. They need that. Children need to be raised by mom and dad. That almost should go without saying, but it must be said. It must be said. Fourth, think about this morning. Children are a big part of God's plan for growing the kingdom. Children are a big part of God's plan for growing the kingdom. If there's one place where we in the church have gotten off the rail, so to speak, is right here. We've lost the kingdom perspective when it comes to raising children, when it comes to having children. We've forgotten that this is one of God's ways. We as Southern Baptists, man, we are so into the numbers and baptism numbers and all that, and we're fussing about in the state newspaper all the time about how baptism rates are down. But you know what we come to find out when we actually look at the statistics? Why is it that Southern Baptists are baptizing less? Part of the reason is that we've completely given up, for the most part, on trying to have bigger families. Families are smaller today. Right, aren't they? Think about that for just a moment. We've lost the kingdom perspective. We just read a moment ago that the man whose quiver is full, will not be ashamed. But I also want you to look at this. Let's go back to Psalm 127. Look what it says here. I want you to notice the kingdom perspective here. Psalm 127, verse 4. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Now just answer this one question in your mind. Are we in a battle? We are. And what is one of the greatest weapons that we who want to leave a legacy, who want to see this world taken for Christ, what is one of the greatest weapons we have? Our babies raised up in godly homes. Don't neglect that. Don't forget that. Let me ask you one question. How are the Muslims doing on this? Honestly. How are the Mormons doing on this? They've not neglected this, but we as Christians, because we've gotten more caught up in our culture and the American dream, we've totally ignored this aspect of God's kingdom mandate. We've totally neglected it, y'all. We've got to see this, that children are arrows that we might fight the devil with. And I know you say, well, I don't know if my child will come to trust Christ. I promise you this, you raise him up in a godly home. It's not 100% guarantee, but that child will most likely trust Christ. Raise him up, man. God has given you a weapon, and we have basically said, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to fight this battle a different way. But God has said, be fruitful and multiply. That children in the hand of godly people are warrior, like having arrows in a warrior's hands. And we're to raise them up. And finally this morning. Children are to have their number determined by God. How many children are you supposed to have? Here's my answer. Let God determine that. Let God determine it. The number of children you have, that is completely of Christian liberty. The Bible doesn't mandate a number. I can't tell you how many kids to have. It's not my business. It's between you and the Lord. But oftentimes, again, let me say this again. Oftentimes it's just between you, right? There's no one else. You've not really brought the Lord in to say, God, how many children would you have me to have? When I met Christy, and I'm thankful for this. She comes from a large family. But when I met Christy, I was dead set. We're going to have two kids. Two kids, that's it. Why? Because everybody else just had two. Because my mom and daddy just had two. And two sounded like it was really manageable. I can handle two, right? I've got two arms, right? One kid. I can handle that, right? But as I began... for her to just lovingly pray for me and for me to look at the Word and to try to put myself, again, completely under the Lordship, every aspect of my being. The Lord said, I want you to have more than two. And I'll just be honest with you at this point, I don't know if five is it. I know y'all think I'm crazy. I just want to be open to God's leadership in this. I just want to be open to God's leadership. I just want to be open. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this will be the final verse that we look at this morning. I just simply want to be open to God's leadership. God very well might tell you, only one child. That's all I want you to have. And if you get peace from God, that's all the Lord wants you to have, then just one. It might be two. Again, I can't specify a number for you. I can't even tell you that you must have children. The Bible doesn't say that. Again, I've already given you examples where that's not good to have kids, right? If you're in a missionary place that's dangerous or whatever else, or you have a disease that might be passed on. But here's again what I'm saying. Have you even consulted the Lord about how many kids should I have? I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And the context here is specifically talking about fleeing from sin, being holy. But I think it encompasses more than that. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that, here it is, church, notice, that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Your entire being should be given to God. God, what would you have me to do when it comes to children? How many would you have me to have, Lord? Again, I hadn't even thought about that. Have you thought about that? Have you looked at it in that perspective? Have you gotten that vision that is greater than convenience, greater than dollars, greater than all those things, the American dream? Have you even consulted the God who bought you of how He would have you to approach having children? God very well might be dealing with you even right now, and you say, well, it's impossible for me. I'm past the age, or I've had a procedure. There's no possibility for me to have kids anymore. And God might begin to break your heart over something like this. Let me ask you this. Can you begin to encourage others? Is there anybody in your life that you can have influence with to help teach this and to mold them and shape them? Or let me ask you this. You want to make a difference, yet biologically, physically, there's no more opportunity for you to have kids? There are millions of children in the world who need a mom and dad, who are sitting in orphanages around the world. I mean, could you adopt? Again, are you willing? Are you open to seeing what God would have you to do in your family with kids? God is awesome, y'all. And He died so that we could have life to the fullest. And I want to say to you today, I don't know about you, when those babies got up here and sang this morning, man, my heart sang. Thank God for the gift of children. Thank God. My prayer is simply this. May God consume us with a biblical perspective on marriage and children. And may lots of mamas be coming down the avenue with a baby carriage.